Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, August 18th, 2011. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. First split megaload from ExxonMobil likely to come through Moscow Monday night. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals says Nampa Classical Academy did not have the right to use religious texts in a public charter school. And Republicans on the Redistricting Commission say they'll go along with most of a Democratic plan to divide up Idaho's 35 legislative districts. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld an earlier ruling that Idaho Public Charter School Commission did not violate the rights of the defunct Nampa Classical Academy when it barred the school from using religious texts, such as the Bible, as their main history text. The Idaho Constitution forbids the use of religious texts in public schools. The appeals court ruled the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution does not, quote, give Idaho charter school teachers, Idaho charter school students, or the parents of Idaho charter school students a right to have primary religious texts included as part of the school curriculum. The court ruled that U.S. District Judge Edward Lodge in Boise erred in ruling that Classical Academy founder Isaac Moffitt did not have standing to sue the state over the matter. However, they agreed with Lodge, who used a 1963 U.S. Supreme Court rule banning ceremonial Bible readings in public schools as precedent. The 1963 Supreme Court ruling said the Bible is worthy of study for its literary and historic qualities as long as it is, quote, presented objectively as part of a secular program of education. The state charter school closed Nampa Classical Academy last year because of shaky finances. During the year it was open, the academy had 500 students. The Oregon-based research firm Education Northwest has found that consolidating two large Idaho Falls area school districts to save costs won't work. A report by the firm says merging Bonneville Joint School District 93 and Idaho Falls District 91 would cost $2.4 million up front and would cost between $582,000 and $2.4 million each year after that. Education Northwest study team leader Terry Akey said the combined districts would constantly face a need to update aging buildings. Akey also said the two districts serve two distinct communities and residents might resist the change. He said people here are used to two separate identities. It would require a huge paradigm shift. As part of State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna's plan to make every Idaho high school graduate, college, and career ready, the state of Idaho will pay nearly $1 million for SAT tests for all the state's high school juniors this year. In 2007, legislators made completion of a college entrance exam by a graduation requirement. Starting with the class of 2013, the students in that class will enter high school as juniors this fall. Luna announced yesterday the Department of Education had selected the SAT and signed a one-year contract with the College Board, which writes and scores the test. Luna said, for the first time, every Idaho student will have the opportunity to take a college entrance exam paid for by the state and to know whether they are prepared for the rigors of post-secondary education. Republicans on Idaho's Redistricting Commission agreed to use a Democratic template in their effort to reach an agreement on redrawing Idaho's political lines. Republican Commission co-chair Evan Frazier told the commission he didn't intend to fail and that he was making, quote, a huge concession, unquote, and would be, quote, putting on a brand new set of glasses. The commission adjourned yesterday and will reconvene Tuesday, August 30th.
In their redistricting plan, Democrats made leaving counties intact their top priority. The Idaho Constitution requires legislative districts keep counties and other communities of interest intact as much as possible. The Republican plan emphasized road connections, which is required under a new state law unless five members of the six-member redistricting commission agree to waive the requirement. However, there have been questions raised over whether the new state law is unconstitutional, in part because it appears to conflict with the constitutional requirement that counties stay intact as much as possible. The Democratic plan can be viewed on the Idaho Legislature's website. The Republican top objections to the plan include connecting Clark Fork in Bonner County all the way down with Riggins in Idaho County in District 2 and connecting downtown Boise with Eagle in District 18. Both sides are stymied by District 31 in southeastern Idaho, where north-south travel is difficult. Democrats had objected to the Republican plan because of its tendency to put serving Democratic legislators into the same districts with incumbents. They also objected to splitting Ada County into seven full districts with other parts of the county in districts partially in neighboring counties. The Republican plan also proposed splitting Latah County and the city of Moscow. Under the plan, Moscow south of Morton Street and Public Avenue would be in the same district as Genesee and most of the city of Lewiston, while most of the rest of the county would be joined with Benoit, Shoshone, and part of Kootenai County. Democrats and some moderate Republicans favor keeping Latah County whole in a single legislative district, along with the whole of Benoit County. The panel has until 5 p.m. on Tuesday, September 6th, to file their maps. If the commission can't agree, the map will be drawn by the state Supreme Court. Idaho Democratic Party Chair Larry Grant has denounced Idaho Governor C.L. Butch Otter, State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Luna, and Republican legislators for what he calls their efforts to privatize education by causing Idaho public schools to fail. In a guest opinion submitted to the Idaho Statesman, Grant said everyone with kids in school now pays a family tax. Grant said for his family, the cost was over $100 in fees for physical education, student activities, and class dues. Other students also pay extra for band, art, and broadcasting. Grant wrote, families are also impacted financially by reduced school bus routes, furloughs, reduced kindergarten. He faulted Republicans for creating a situation where talented students can't afford to play sports, study art, or be in a band. Grant warned that after firing teachers, reducing services and cutting expenses or shifting them to parents, the state will not be providing the quality education guaranteed by the Idaho Constitution. Grant accused Republicans of setting up a system where public schools will fail while the state supports private schools with vouchers. He wrote, they want budget cuts except when they don't, and they want to get rid of government except when it is in their benefit, except when it is their benefits that are being cut. The Idaho Transportation Department granted a permit to ExxonMobil Canadian subsidiary Imperial Oil yesterday to move its first half-height, full-width megaload through Moscow on U.S. 95. Jeff Stratton of the ITD said the megaload is 413,000 pounds, 24 feet wide, 207 feet long, and 14 feet high. ExxonMobil had originally wanted to send the loads as full-size loads over U.S. Highway 12, weighing up to 590,000 pounds apiece and being 30 feet high. The load is expected to move out of the port of Lewiston Monday night and is bound for the Kearl oil fields in northeastern Alberta. A load this size had been permitted for travel on the highway in June, but ExxonMobil let the transport permits expire without moving the load. A specific travel schedule has not been published, but the transport permit only allows the load to move on Idaho roads between 10 p.m. and 5:30 a.m. ExxonMobil has only sent smaller tar sands shipments up U.S. 95 so far this summer, with the largest being 88,000 pounds. two out of four mystery megalodes sent through Moscow Sunday night and early Monday morning by an Alberta transport company were in excess of 200,000 pounds. The company, Ryash Transportation, has not said who owns those shipments, which originated at the port of Vancouver, Washington. Because of its width, the ExxonMobil shipment will completely block two lanes of US 95 when it rolls, which is only two lanes wide for most of the route between Lewiston and Coeur d'Alene. The permit requires it to stop in order to prevent traffic delays more than 15 minutes long. Idaho rules define traffic delays as only when traffic is completely stopped. Delays caused by the loads moving slower than the speed limit do not count. Community organizer Helen Yost of Wild Idaho Rising Tide told the Daily News the group is planning a protest proportionate to the size of the megaload. Yost said, "We're hoping that since the student population is back among us, that many will want to get involved in such a protest." Latah County employees will see no change in their health insurance benefits in the nearly $820,000 contract with Blue Cross of Idaho accepted by Latah County commissioners yesterday. The commissioners opted for an 8.6% rate hike to avoid the turmoil that would be caused by a change in benefits. All of the increase is in the medical portion of the plan. Dental, vision, and life insurance rates would be unchanged. Last year, the county switched to Blue Cross when renewal rates from Regents Blue Shield were deemed too high. The Regents' bid on this year's contract was 4% higher than what Blue Cross offered. The lowest bid was from Pacific Source, but Hebling Benefits consultant Chad Murray advised commissioners against accepting that bid because Pacific Source doesn't have a strong network of medical providers in Idaho. The county has the full cost of insurance for about 130 employees and 25% of the cost of insurance for 140 dependents. Both the county and the city of Moscow succeeded this year in reducing medical insurers' initial bids. City Supervisor Gary Riedner attributes this to putting the contracts out to bid. Riedner said they sharpened their pencils and came back. City Public Works Director Les McDonald and James Bledsoe of the consulting firm Keller & Associates presented a report on the sewer system comprehensive plan to the Moscow City Council on Monday night.
The hydraulic capacity of the plant is about 10 million gallons a day as far as a flow rate. But what happens when you exceed about 4 to 5 million is the processes start to be affected. So treatment still occurs, but it doesn't necessarily occur at the same level or the same quality that it would normally occur in a typical operating day at say 2 million gallons a day. So yes, there is still treatment that occurs, but it starts to decline in capability as you continue to increase that hydraulic load.
On that note, my understanding is that hydraulic capacity of 10 MGD, you'll notice on the peak hour, you know, there's going to be some attenuation in the plant. But your for example, your screens, if they're sized for 10 MGD, then you're getting pretty close to that capacity now in those peak hours. So there's some incentive on the treatment side as well as the collection side to try to reduce some of those.
That was James Bledsoe of the consulting firm Keller & Associates, and before that you heard from Moscow Public Works Director Les McDonald. Bledsoe said the idea of reusing some of the flow from the system in certain parts of the city probably would not work.
Part of the motivation looking at this was, well, what if we can take some of this flow and capture it out there in the basin someplace and reuse it there locally so that we don't have to pay to upsize all the pipelines all the way down to the plant and then turn around and treat it and maybe turn around and pump it, bring it all the way back up. And we looked at that. We looked at three remote sites. This graphic shows one. We have a potential scalping plant kind of over here near Mountain View Road there. And you can see some of the parks we identified that could be potential reuse sites, and we looked at the flows that could come in there, and is we looked at the different options. We determined that a scalping plant was still wasn't going to really save any capacity downstream, because you still needed to be able to send that flow down during the periods of during the winter periods when you didn't need the irrigation water, and so that savings really wasn't available to the city.
James Bledsoe of Keller and Associates. City Councilmember Walter Steed had this question.
I had something come to me the other day from someone about some presumed developer that was looking at something and saw that we had were participating in some kind of something, not impact fees, and they presumably walked away because of it. We really aren't, but somewhere they got the idea that we were. Mm-hmm. And so they really said, well, that's not really where somewhere we're going to go. So I'm just a little sensitive in trying to stay away from buzzwords that can have negative connotations, in my opinion,
sure.
In terms of development. I don't have any problem collecting the fees to do what you're talking about doing. I think your point's very well taken.
Right, and I think the point is that there are thresholds whereupon it's going to cost all of us more money, and whether that's borne by a particular development or the public as a whole or some segment of the community that's affected by that particular line.
That was Moscow Mayor Nancy Cheney, preceded by a comment from City Councilmember Walter Steed. If you've noticed an inordinate number of fir trees that are brown and appear to be dying, you are seeing the effects of a 10-year peak in tussock moths. In their caterpillar stage, the moths feed on the needles of Douglas fir and grand fir trees, leaving the foliage red or brown. Occasionally, the moths feed on ornamental spruce trees as well. Idaho Department of Lands Forest Specialist Tom Eckberg says, although the trees appear dead, healthy trees generally recover and grow new needles the following spring. A tussock moth outbreak is generally countered by a naturally occurring virus that checks the population of moths. University of Idaho Extension forestry educator Chris Schneff said the outbreaks are probably more severe than in the past. Logging has reduced the quantity of ponderosa pine and larch trees that the moths do not target. The relative increase in the number of firs on the landscape has allowed the moths to flourish. The most visible signs of the moths are on Moscow Mountain, off US 95 near Plummer and Worley, and the Signal Point area south of Post Falls, which is visible from Interstate 90. Travelers on Washington's North Cascades Highway, U.S. Highway 2, should adjust their schedules to allow for a closure of the highway because of a fire in Tumwater Canyon near Leavenworth. A detour is available. The closure began Wednesday night after the fire had burned 50 acres of grass, shrubs, and trees. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Take a look at the weather. Partly cloudy tonight, low 49. Clear to mostly clear conditions all the way through next Wednesday. High 79 tomorrow, 85 Saturday, and 87 Sunday through Wednesday next week. Lows in the low 50s. Currently fair skies, 78 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Remember, if you want to help KRFP keep news reports like this on the air, plus the reports you hear during your morning mix, the recordings of local events, the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $25 for students. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can find out how to donate on the web. I'm Lee Robartis. Nancy Casey assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a good night. Coming up next is Talk Nation Radio on Fukushima, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at 6:30. Music begins at 7:30 with the Green Gypsy. Have a good night. KRFP Moscow.